Thank you guys for that wonderful song. All the groups, all the music's been wonderful. Genesis chapter number 29 in your Bible. I want you to find your place and then keep your Bible open. I'm going to bring a message this morning that is not a typical youth conference kind of message, but it's going to be a help. It's going to be a help to somebody. I promise you, this message is going to be a help to somebody, and some in this room desperately need this message. Some desperately need this message, and so I want you to listen very carefully. If you would, get a little bit of a ring, guys. Genesis chapter 29. Would you stand with me, please, for the reading of God's Word? Genesis chapter number 29. The Bible says in verse 1 that Jacob went on his journey. Jacob is running from a situation that he created through deception. He's going back to his mother's family. The Bible says that Jacob went on his journey and he came into the land of the people of the east, and he looked and behold a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks. The great stone was upon the well's mouth, and thither were all the flocks gathered. Are you there? Verse 3. They rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? Where are you from? They said, of Haran are we. He said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. Matter of fact, here comes his daughter right now. Verse 7. And he said, lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them. And they said, we cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, that then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Look at verse 11. And Jacob kissed Rachel. This would be a kiss of greeting. Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him, kissed him, brought him to his house, and told Laban all these things. Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. Now look at verse 15. Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldst thou therefore serve me for naught, for nothing? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? What do you want me to pay you? You've been here for a month, and you're going to stay here for an indeterminate period of time. What do you want me to pay you? Wouldn't that be wonderful in your summer job if you would just go and work and the boss would say, hey, what do you want to make? What do you want me to pay you? And Jacob gives a very interesting response. Notice what he says in verse 16. Well, Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Only had two daughters. Leah was tender-eyed. Back in Bible days, there were not the advances in medical science and medicine as we have today. was not uncommon for people to have an eye condition, was not uncommon, especially in a sandy climate, was not uncommon. Couldn't treat eye conditions like they could today, like they can today. Wasn't uncommon for older people to get cataracts and become blind. Matter of fact, Jacob's own father, Isaac, his eyes grew dim, probably had cataracts, and he could not see. The Bible says that Leah was tender-eyed. What that meant was she had an eye condition. Her eyes were not beautiful. She probably had eyesight that was marred. Understand this, that in the Bible, in the Old Testament, beauty was conditioned upon one's eyes. Beauty was conditioned upon one's countenance. When the Bible says of David that he had a fair countenance, 1 Samuel chapter number 16, literally what that word means is he was beautiful-eyed. Beautiful-eyed. And by the way, wouldn't it be a great thing if we could again define beauty by the countenance? Listen, we live in a society that has defined beauty in an unbiblical way. Just the body, the form. And especially young ladies are under a great pressure to conform to one small definition, wrong definition of beauty. Almost demands an anorexia to achieve it. And yet the Bible defines beauty right here. Right here. And yet the Bible says that Leah was not beautiful. That's what it's saying. The Bible's saying that Leah was not beautiful. Not everybody is beautiful. It wasn't Leah's fault. Leah didn't ask for that. Everybody wants to be beautiful. Every young lady wants to be pretty, wants to be thought of as beautiful, but Leah was not beautiful. Leah was tender-eyed. And the Bible says, to add insult to injury, Rachel, do you see it? Look at the verse. But there's the contrast, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. She was beautiful and people treated her differently because of her beauty. You know, they've done studies, psychological studies, of beautiful people and how they're treated differently in restaurants, how they're treated differently in job interviews, how they're treated just because they're beautiful. Leah was not beautiful. But Rachel, she was beautiful and she was treated differently because she was beautiful. And sometimes in a youth group, and sometimes even in a family. Sometimes at a school, even your school. Somebody, just because she is beautiful, is treated differently. For no character reason, for no spiritual reason, just because she's beautiful. And the Bible says in verse 18 that Jacob loved Rachel. He only knew her for a month. Jacob didn't have time to ascertain character. Jacob didn't have a time to be able to vet out her spirituality. Now, what the Bible is teaching is that Jacob loved Rachel for all the other reasons why people love Rachel. It's because she was beautiful. She was a looker. She was a wow. I love her for no other reason than she appeals to me. And don't miss the inference, or the implication rather. Don't miss it. Because the implication is, and he doesn't love Leah. Leah was not beautiful. Rachel was beautiful. And Jacob loved Rachel, not Leah. He loved Rachel, not Leah. Look at verse 19 again. Or 18. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I'll serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter.
Jacob, what should I pay you to work for me? I'll tell you what. I'll work for free. I won't take any remuneration. You don't have to cut me any check. I won't take any silver coins. I'll tell you what I'll work for. I'll work 7 years. That's a long time. In an agricultural society, working hard day after day, after week, after month, after year, that's a long time. And I'll work for one thing. I'll work if you'll allow Rachel to be my wife after 7 years of working. Wow. Watch Laban's response. Laban said, verse 19, "It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me." You got a deal. You got a deal. You got a deal, Jacob. Okay. Verse 20, "And Jacob served 7 years." Oh, he did it. He did what he said. He served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had to her. Man, he was in deep, wasn't it? Man, he floated to work. He floated home. Man, he was in love. And girls, when guys are in love or when they think they're in love, they say and do stupid things. Jacob was right there. Look at verse 21. "And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled." Boy, he was counting off the days. My days are fulfilled. Man, he had a calendar. Man, he was checking off the days. 175 more days until I graduate from high school. You know, that kind of thing. He's counting off the days. That last day, 7 years is up. Man, he goes to see Laban. "Hey, Laban, guess what? Time's up. My wife, we have a deal." And watch what happens. "My days are fulfilled that I may go in unto her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Hey, Laban said, "You're right, got a deal. I'm going to make good on the deal. It's time for a wedding." Wedding means feast. Wedding means celebration. So he gathers all the people together. Let's have a big party. And the Bible says in verse 23, "And it came to pass in the evening," that's when weddings were in the Bible, "it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter." He brought her to him, took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. Now understand, back in Bible days, evening time, there's no artificial light. There's no electricity. Oh, a woman is fully clothed and modest with a veil over her face. There's no way for Jacob in that condition to ascertain that the woman standing in front of him probably about the same build as Rachel. There's no way for him to know in that dark venue that this is not the woman for whom he's worked. This is not the woman for whom he made the deal. This is Leah. And so Laban has done a bait and switch. And he's put Leah in the tent with Jacob. And Jacob doesn't know because he can't see in the dark. And the Bible says in verse 24 that Laban also gave his daughter Leah, Zilpah, his maid for an handmaid. Verse 25, "And it came to pass." Look at verse 25. Don't miss it. Verse 25. "And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah." Now, I don't know how that went down. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't just wake up. Waking up for me is a process of coming out of a coma. You know what I'm talking about? How many know what I'm talking about? Okay? How many can say, "I thank God for the snooze alarm"? Okay? Yeah. You say, "Well, it's only 7 more minutes." Yes, but it is 7 minutes. Right? Or 9, depending on your snooze alarm. I can imagine this. Because all men snore. Good. Right? You don't even look. You know what the snooze alarm is? It's intuitive. It's like you hit it on the first hit, okay? If you have a baby brother, you hit him first and then you hit the snooze alarm. Because baby brothers are snooze alarms, okay? If that doesn't work, plastic bags work wonders. Don't judge, don't hate. But you know, there came a time that morning when Jacob woke up and it was like, "Oh, Morning, honey. Morning, beautiful.
Wow.
And watch what happens. Laban, see it? Look at it, verse 25. And he said to Laban, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? We had a deal. Wherefore, why then hast thou beguiled me? You tricked me, Laban." Huh. Jacob, you don't know anything about tricking people. Verse 25. And Laban said, "It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." Oh, Jacob, I'm sorry. Here where we're from, we give preferential treatment to the older child. Don't you believe that where you're from, Jacob? You know what's funny? What's funny is if you won't obey God, God's better at scheming than you are. And you might think you'll win, but you won't win. And this is like the chickens coming home. And watch what happens in verse 27. And Laban said, "But I got a deal for you." And Laban was a good deal maker. He said, "Fulfill her week." Okay, so you got 1 week. 1 week honeymoon, okay? You know, just give Leah her week. Let her be the wife of the week. Okay, fulfill her week. And we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. Hey, work with me 7 more years. Here's the deal, okay? Be with Leah for 1 more week. Okay, then I'll give you Rachel on credit. Okay? And then you can work her off for 7 years. Okay? Like this is like the American Express, okay? You just have Rachel and your credit's good with me. So watch what happens. Verse 28, and Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. That's Leah's week. And he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. So now he's got 2 wives and 2 handmaids. And the Bible says in verse 29, and Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in unto Rachel, and watch it, verse 30. And he loved also Rachel more than Leah. Now, Leah, she's not beautiful, huh? What's the deal? I want her. Oh, you didn't give me her. I wanted her. I don't want her. I want her. Oh, now I got them both. I love her more. Do you see it? And he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with him yet 7 other years. Don't miss it. We're almost done with the reading. Look at verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, who saw it? He opened her womb. He didn't do that for Rachel. Rachel was barren. I'm going to do something for you that nobody else can do for you. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. She said, "Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband, he'll love me now." I mean, I have a son. I mean, he's going to love me now. But he didn't. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, "Because the Lord hath heard, because he hath heard I was hated. The Lord knows I'm hated by my husband. He hath therefore given me this son also." She called his name Simeon. Shimeon. Shema was the root word. It means to hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. That we call that the Shema. Shimeon. God, you've heard me. God, you've heard me. Now he's going to love me. Now he's going to love me. But he didn't. She conceived again and bare a son. So now this time, 3's a charm. Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, joined, attached, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi, attached, joined. I mean, come on. I've given him 3 sons. Back in Bible days, that was a sign of God's blessing and a fruitfulness. I mean, come on, he's going to love me now. He's going to be attached to me now. I'm going to name my son Joined because I know my husband will love me now. Can't you just love me? But he doesn't. But he doesn't love her.
Look at the last verse. She conceived again. This is her fourth conception. She bare a son. She said, Now will I praise the Lord. What? Now will I praise the Lord. She hadn't praised the Lord up until then. Now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, praise. And she left bearing. I want to talk to you for a moment or two this morning on this topic. How do you get to the praise point? Because you've sung wonderful. You've praised the Lord in a wonderful way. But I wonder, did it come from here? Did it come from here? Or did it come from here? Listen to me. Because we're good in our plastic 21st century Christianity. We're good at knowing all the right things to say. And wearing the right uniform and going all the right places and saying all the right things and having all the right verses memorized. We're very robotic and mechanical. But I wonder, are you, not your school, your church, your youth group, you, are you praising God from your heart? Can I ask you a question? Is God good? No, is he good academically? Not do we believe that generally. Is he good? Has he been good to you? Do you believe that? Amen. Do you believe that? Yes. I want to talk about how to get to the praise point. Our Father, bless the message. Lord, we've taken a lot of time just to read your word. Now we're asking that you would pinpoint in our heart the need that only your word can meet. Father, would you bless this time together? We've heard a tremendous message already. We don't want to sell out. Lord, we want to hold on to you. And so, Father, now I pray that you'd help us to praise you and to learn how to get to that point. Bless this message, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And thank you so much for standing. I'm afraid that, and I know I'm talking about Leah this morning, and I know that Leah, obviously, a woman, sometimes as guys, we zone out because the message, the heroine of the message is a woman. But I want you to understand that the whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. We ask ladies to draw biblical conclusions from many of the hero stories in the Bible, like a David or like a Moses or like an Abraham or like a Peter. And I'm asking this morning that guys and girls alike would draw the principles from this story because I think they're applicable to every single one of us. Pastor Skelly, tell us about Leah. It's not a good story, humanly speaking. It's not one of those stories that's warm and fuzzy. And can I just say this? Leah never was loved by Jacob. Even when Jacob got to Egypt as an old man and reacquainted with Joseph, he said, yeah, Rachel, I lost Rachel. Never got over her. That was his first love. That was where his heart was. Leah wanted so desperately for Jacob just to love her. But he never did. And even though she was buried with him one day and God honored her, she never got that human affection. Listen, human beings are fickle. There are some human beings in your life that you're going to want to love you, and they may never love you. I always wanted my dad to love me. I always wanted my dad to, and he never did. He left us when I was 3. I never understood that. I remember when my own son, my oldest son, who's 20, it'll be 26. I remember when my oldest son was 3 and I held him. And I thought, how could somebody leave a little boy?
I saw my dad once a year until I was 9. And then he took off. I didn't see him. For the next 15 years of my life, I didn't know if he was dead or alive. I reacquainted with him when I was 25, and he never said he was sorry. My dad never one time in his life looked at me and said, "Kurt, I love you." He never said it one time. I sat by his hospital bed when he died of cancer in 1997. I sat by his bed. The little boy that he left. The little boy that he rejected. Where are all his business buddies? Where are all his partners? Where are all his friends? Where are all the people that laughed and partied with him? None of them were there, but I was there. But he never said, "Kurt, I'm sorry. Kurt, forgive me. Kurt, I love you." Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're at a place in your life where you're saying, "Boy, I just want my dad. Why does he act that way? Why doesn't my mother? Why am I the..." I feel like that was Leah. Leah was rejected. "I don't love you. You're ugly. I don't love you. You're not beautiful. I love your sister. I love your younger sister." Maybe you're in a family right now and you're always compared to the other sibling. You're always compared. You'll never measure up. You're not as smart. You're not as pretty. You're not as popular. You're not as athletic. And that was Leah. She was rejected. She was manipulated. Her own father manipulated. Her own father said, "Well, I better work up some kind of plan to trick somebody to marry her." Her own father didn't believe in her. Her own father manipulated the circumstances so that she could get married. Her own father just wanted to get rid of her. "Now she's your problem, Jacob. Give her her wee because she'll be fine." Rejected, manipulated, but watch this, neglected. All of her life, Jacob lived with Rachel. Oh, every now and then, he'd come visit her tent. Every now and then, Jacob would come by and visit her tent. But he loved Rachel. He spent time with Rachel. He was with Rachel. Neglected. It's one thing to be rejected. It's one thing for someone to say, "Well, I break up with you," or "I don't love you," and then to leave your life. It's another thing to live with somebody, and every single day you want their favor, and every single day you want their love, and every single day you want their attention, and you never, ever get it. That was Leah. That's the way she lived. Every single day, it's not going to change. Throughout her 20s, throughout her 30s, throughout her 40s, as she became a middle age and then an old woman, "I just want my husband to love me." And he never did. He never did. She was rejected. She was manipulated. She was neglected. She was disappointed. Listen to me. Disappointed in God. She'd pray, "God, can you do something? God, can you help me? God, can you hear me? God, you have heard me. Oh, I guess you didn't hear me. God, this time you heard me." She was disappointed. "God, why is it this way? God, I didn't choose this. God, I wish my eyes were beautiful. Why can't he just love me? I love him. I serve him. Why can't he feel the same way? What's wrong with me? I didn't choose to be this way. I didn't choose to look this way. I didn't choose this. This is not fair." It's not fair. Disappointed. Have you ever been disappointed in God? He could make you different. He could have made you the most beautiful one. He could have made you smarter than you are. He could have made you the top athlete. He could have, but he didn't. He could make that person be that way, I guess. But he didn't. He lets people make their choices. Why? God, why have you done this to me, God? Why have you done this? Rejected and manipulated, neglected and disappointed. How did Leah get to the praise point? I'm going to give you three statements. Here they are, and we're done. I'm going to give you three statements. And listen to me, if this message has at all resonated with you, if what I have just said has found context in your life, guys or girls, I want you to listen carefully to the next three things I'm about to say. Because I'm about to give you some advice from the Bible that could literally change your life. Are you ready? Number one, Pastor Skelly, you described my life. Pastor Skelly, that's the way I feel. And I've always just wanted my dad to, I've always just wanted to have that love. I always have felt like okay, if that's you, number one, I want you to take comfort in knowing that God sees. Number one, I want you to take comfort in knowing that God sees, and He will do for you things that He will do for nobody else. Because God has a special attention to rejected people. He will be a father to the fatherless. He'll be a husband to the widow. God will take up the case of those who have been rejected in this world. I'm just telling you that He was despised and rejected of men. He knows all about it. He feels it. He knows it. And He's right there and He sees it. God is in the business of seeing people whom nobody else can see. Pastor Skelly, I feel like I'm a wallflower. I feel like I go into the room, and if I'm at the youth group, and no one even knows I'm there, and if I'm gone, no one even knows that I'm missed, and I feel like I'm just like white noise in my family. Listen, God knows exactly where you are. When Hagar was cast out of the family and she took Ishmael and went out in the wilderness, and here's a woman with her young teenage boy. How am I going to live? How am I going to survive? And there the angel of God appeared to her, and Hagar says, "Oh, thou God, seest me." And God sees you. And Jesus stood there, didn't he? Stood there over against the treasury with his disciples. The Bible says he just watched how people gave. He didn't watch what people gave. He watched how people gave. And boy, these big, rich people would come in with their large bags of money, coinage. They would dump their coins in the receptacle. It looked like an upside-down tuba. And they'd dump the coins in and make all the clanging and clattering. And people would turn around and say, "Wow. Look at all that person gave." And the person would be swelled up with pride. "Yeah, look at all that I'm giving." Jesus watched as a little widow woman came. She put in her little two mites, that little hardly made a noise. Nobody much saw her. And Jesus said, see, she gave more than anybody. Hey, by the way, He never told her. He never told her. She never knew that Jesus watched her. He never knew that He was standing there on the side. He never knew that He praised her to the disciples. She never knew that her name would be written down and her story would be written down in the Bible. She never knew. And you might never know, but God is over against the sideline of your life. He's watching you.
Amen.
You might not have much, and you might be little esteemed in this world, and you might not have the attention given to you like other people that have so much, and you might have so little, but I'm just telling you, God sees you. And God will do for you things that He'll do for nobody else, because the Bible says that He opened her womb. God did what only God could do in Leah's life and gave her something far more valuable than the love of a husband. Why? Because God saw. Take comfort in knowing that God sees. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's looking at you today? Do you really believe that if you were the only person in this world, Jesus would have hung on a cross for you? Do you believe that? Does that change the way you live? Does that change the person you are? To realize that Jesus Christ, listen to me, hung naked. Are you listening? On a cross, beyond recognition, for you.
and if need be, only you. God sees you. Number two, are you rejected, manipulated? Have you been neglected and disappointed? Then take comfort knowing that God knows and God sees and God will do for you things that He can only do, that He can only do. Number two, invest in the relationships that you do have. Invest in the relationships that you do. Pastor Skelly, my husband, he doesn't love me. My parents, this person that I so want to, they don't. Yeah, but here's the thing. God has given you a relationship that you can invest in.
That's right.
And here was Leah. My husband doesn't love me, but God says, okay, I'll give you a son. My husband doesn't love me, I'll give you another son. My husband doesn't love me, I'll give you another son. My husband doesn't, I'll give you another son. You know what God has done in your life? He's given you people in your life maybe that don't value you. But you know what He has given? He's given you a bunch of people that you can invest in. You know what God did for my mother? My mother who caught my father having an affair with another woman. My mother that looked at my father and said, you've got to choose me or her. My father saying, I choose her. My mother walking to the front porch of our house, 38 Walnut Hill Road, East Hartland, Connecticut. She still lives there. Standing on the front porch with my brother Stephen holding her hand on one side. And me, Kurt, holding her hand on the other side. And watching as my father pulled out the driveway and drove away. You say, how does somebody take that? Well, you know, as a kid, you don't know. You don't know. My mother years later told me, she said, I didn't know what to do. Here's a woman in her late 20s with two small children. I didn't know what to do. She said, I didn't know what to do. My whole world came in. I didn't know what to do. She said, I would sleep on the couch. In the morning, I'd wake up and I couldn't get up. My mind would say, get up. Your boys need you, but I couldn't get up. I couldn't get up. I couldn't get up. She said, I lay there for weeks. I couldn't get up. If it weren't for people, neighbors and friends and people at the church coming and bringing meals and helping to care for your boy, I don't know what I would have done. I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. Why? Why did my husband leave me? Why would a dad leave his small boys? Why? But you know, my mother did get up. And she did trust God. And she did invest in her boys. And I remember going to work with my mother because we had so little money. She was a nurse and she'd take us to work with her third shift at the nursing home. And we'd sleep in the empty bed. And the nurse, I was in the convalescent home when I was three. We just thought that was normal. I look a little over there. She took her teeth out. I wonder why my teeth don't come out, you know? What am I saying? I'm saying, listen, you can spend your life lamenting the people that should love you. And listen, they should love you. I feel badly that you've been neglected. I feel badly that you've been manipulated. I feel badly that you've been neglected. I feel badly that you're disappointed. I do, but listen, you might not ever change it. Let me tell you right now, you can invest in people that are right next to you. You can love your brother and love your sister and love your neighbor and love your friend, and you can invest in people. That's what Leah did. Take comfort in knowing that God knows, He sees, He'll do for you things that only He can do. Invest in the relationships you have. And then lastly, thirdly, don't hold the goodness of God hostage to your demands. Listen to me. Don't hold the goodness of God hostage to your demands. But God, I want Him to love me. You gave me a son. Now He'll love me. Now He'll love me. Oh, okay. Well, now a second time, Lord, You heard me. You heard me now, but He doesn't. Well, now a third time, He's going to be attached to me, but He didn't. And then she had Judah. Something happened. Listen to me. Something happened. Where she got to the point where she realized, you know what? Huh. My husband has never been here for me. But God, boy, you're here for me faithfully.
Yes, that's right.
God, you'll never leave me or forsake me.
God, you've never done me wrong. God, you're blessing me and I was missing it. And now, God, you've given me a fourth son. And oh, God, how could I have missed it? God, I will name. She named all of them. I will name this fourth one, Judah. Praise. Can I tell you something? Do you know who Judah was?
Right.
Do you know who Judah was? He was the firstborn. Now, the firstborn, that's the special one. But you know what? Reuben, he blew it. He made some bad decisions, so he blew it. And then Simeon and Levi, they did some pretty, crazy things. And they, you know where Messiah came from? Do you know where Jesus came from? Of the sons of Jacob, do you know where Jesus came from? He's the Lion of the tribe of.
Amen.
You know when you get to the praise point in your life? You get to the praise point in your life when you realize it's all about your Judah. You get to the praise point when you get to the point where you realize, God, what you've given me is enough. Because you know what God's given you? He's given you His Son.
Yes.
God gave you His Son. What more could He give? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall I not with Him also freely give us all things? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Do you realize, God, what do you want God to do to prove to you that He loves you? What does God have to do to show you that He's good? How many millions of dollars do you need? Who does He need to make love you? Listen, God loves you.
Right.
God loves you. And He proved it. He gave you His only Son. Listen, He gave you Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus belong. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. I have found my Judah. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. This has been a difficult message. Because we love to hide in our charade. We love to climb behind our self-made facade. We love to act as if on the stage of our life everything is just fine. But I know better.